Hello, I'm Elizabeth Crunk. Today's date is November 23rd of 2017. I am interviewing Keith, my granddad.
And we are recording this in the country outside Crawford, Texas. My name is Jeff Crunk. I'm Elizabeth's dad. She's 9 years old. And as she just said, we're going to interview my dad, Keith Crunk. How old are you?
I'm 88 years old.
As of November the
7th. 7th.
All right. And today's date is November 23rd, 2017. Elizabeth has the first question.
Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
I was born in Wink, Texas. And my dad, your great-grandfather, worked for the Atlantic Pipeline Oil Company. And we lived in an oil camp. There were five houses in the camp. And we lived in one of the five houses.
That's where you were born?
Uh-huh. No. Yes, that's where I was born. Uh-huh. And I was born at home. In those days, the babies were born in their home, not in a hospital.
So you're the oldest of three children. James and John are your younger brothers.
Yes.
Were they also born at home?
Now, James was born at home, but John was born at the hospital.
Okay.
And when I say hospital, it was just a small place, very small, maybe two nurses in the whole hospital.
Were there other kids out at Wink where you were at, in that oil pipeline place?
Yes. Lana Faye Garrett lived on one side, and on the other side were several people, but they were much older. So it was just Lana Faye and I.
As a child, did you have any pets?
Did I have any pets? Yes, I had a dog named Rags, and then we had a chow dog. I don't remember the name of that dog, but it got to killing calves around, so we had to get rid of that dog.
Did you have a dog named Troubles?
Yes, uh-huh. Now, that was much later, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, much later.
What was your favorite entertainment as a child to entertain yourself when no one else could play with you?
Do what now?
What was your favorite entertainment as a child when no one else could play with you?
We'd go to this show every Saturday, and the show was 7 cents. 7 cents. And then we'd get an ice cream cone that was a nickel.
Okay, thank you for that. That sounds good.
Don't you wish ice cream cones were a nickel?
Gosh, I would be eating it. Okay, next question. Can you tell me about your grandparents and your great-grandparents?
your great-grandparents? My dad was Floyd Bidful Crunk, and he was born in Paragould, Arkansas. And my mother was Mary Violet Crunk, and she was born in Lebanon, Indiana.
How did they meet?
During the summer, your great-grandmother, Mary Violet, she would come in the summertime and stay with her grandparents, the Dudleys. And Dad met her while he was working. He worked for an oil company. And so they got married. And as a wedding gift from your great-grandparents was two feather pillows. And they set up housekeeping and a little lean-to that was onto the grocery store that the Dudleys had.
So the Dudleys ran a dry goods
store? Yes. Well, now the store was just out in the country, and the Dudleys sold cracker and cheese and bologna and lunch meat to the colored people as they were going to the fields to work. And I remember my mother would go about once or twice a year to visit the Dudleys because she felt very close to them. And candy at that time was a penny a piece. You could get a jawbreaker for a penny and an all-day sucker for a penny.
And so when you say the fields, you mean the oil fields?
Do you want?
You said that the black people would be working in the fields. You
yes.
mean the oil fields?
No. They'd be working in the cotton fields.
The cotton fields.
They were picking cotton.
So what people were doing for a living there was oil and then cotton.
Yes. It's very much cotton was the thing. There were up there was a little small oil field there, but it was mainly in the cotton field.
Did you ever go to work with Granddaddy? Did you ever go to along with your dad when he would go check on the pipelines? He inspected the pipeline?
No, I didn't know him then. At that time, Dad worked for this oil company, and his brother, Blackie, which was Theodore Crunk, worked in the fields. And then they decided that they were starving to death. In Arkansas, there was just no money. And so my mother and Dad and Uncle Blackie and Aunt Christine had a touring car, and they decided to go to California in it and get money. That's where everybody was going to go, be rich. But they got out there, and there was no job. Everybody was having a struggle. So they decided to come back to Arkansas. And as they were coming back, they came to Wickett, Texas, Wickett, and they met a man that was in charge of unloading pipe that they had known in Arkansas, a Mr. Williams, and he was in charge of unloading these pipes, so he gave Dad and Uncle Blackie a job. Now, Dad's job was to sort of watch after the pipe that was being unloaded. And then Uncle Blackie was transferred on to Wink, Texas, where they were putting in this pipeline and putting in a pump station. And they were going to start pumping oil from West Texas down to the coast, Beaumont. And they laid a pipeline all the way down there. And they worked for $1 a day. And we lived in a, but this, at first, when Dad was on the railroad watching these pipes, they didn't have anything, just a suitcase with their clothes in it. And then they bought a tent from Montgomery Ward. And they lived in this tent for several months that was on the side of the railroad track. Mm. And they would walk up to this store. And those people ran just a little eating store. And in later life, they moved to Garden City, which was not too far away. And they were very wealthy people, had a big house. But I used to know their name, but I've forgotten. But yeah, Dad, and one morning, one Christmas, mother, grandmother, Crunk, from Arkansas, sent them in a shoebox a baked chicken and dressing in this shoebox wrapped up. And that was their Christmas dinner that they ate it.
Elizabeth, do you have the next question?
Yes. The other question, can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Now, I'm trying to buy a lawnmower. I didn't have any difficult times.
Oh, really. Lucky you.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Most people do.
Tell me about a teacher or other adult that had a big impact on your life while you were growing up.
I guess it was an English teacher when I was in the 11th and 12th grade. And her name was Mrs. Burleson. And she was an excellent teacher. And I liked her. She was very nice. And I did make real good grades under her. And she was a very unusual person. She had a son and a daughter. And the daughter never came to sundown, so I never met her. And the son was killed in World War II, and she never accepted the fact that he was killed. She kept his room spotless. She dusted it every day, wouldn't let no one go into his room, and everything was just exactly as he left it. But and then I moved away, and then I don't know whatever happened to her.
You mentioned you were in sundown, so you'd move from Wink to sundown?
No. We went from Wink to Hobbs. Now, we lived in Wink until I was about 9 or 10 years old. And then we moved to Hobbs.
New Mexico.
Do
I? Is that New Mexico?
Yes, Hobbs, New Mexico. And we lived there on December the 7th, 1941, because I was playing in the front yard, and my dad, your great-grandfather, came and said, listen to the radio. Pearl Harbor has just been bombed. And so that's when I was in junior high school, I guess. At some place along that line.
What was Granddaddy doing in Hobbs?
He worked for the Atlantic Pipeline, and he was working at a pump station. And he would go to these big oil tanks and measure how much oil was being pumped into the tank and how much was going out of the tank.
I can remember him talking about how he had to crawl into those things.
Yeah.
And how hot it would be.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Like people could pass out of there.
Yes.
And die.
So.
Then you went to sundown, and that was he still doing the same work at sundown?
Yes, he did basically the same, except that time he had been promoted to, he was in charge of the station and had several people working under him.
Okay.
And then the teacher that I had in the 12th grade encouraged me to go to Baylor. And I had never heard of Waco, never heard of Baylor, though we were Baptist. And this teacher was the Church of Christ. And so I went to Baylor and got poor and never had enough money to leave Waco. So I'm still here.
But where does Baylor fit relative to the time you were in Korea? I thought Korea was before.
Well, no.
Am I off on that?
I went during the summertime. in 1948, and I went that summer.
Gotcha.
And then we were on the quarter system, Baylor was. And then the next year, I went two summers and a year. And then I went into the service because they had a quota. Every district had so many people they had to send, and they didn't have enough to fill their quota, so they started sending people that were in college. And so that was when, let's see, that was in 1951, I guess, in the fall. I had been to Baylor, and then I went probably in October or November, and I went into the I went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and that was the induction point.
Right.
And then from there, we went to California, Fort Ord. And then that's where I met, there were five of us. We all had gone to college. We were all in the same situation. And some had gone to SMU, and some had gone to TCU, and so we stayed pretty much together for the few times. And one of them was killed in Korea.
Of the five?
Of the five, uh-huh. His name was Crawley. But, yeah, he, and I think all of them are deceased now, except Arian, Dink Arian.
Are you keeping up with him somehow?
Do you want?
Do you keep up with him?
Yes, occasionally I hear from him. And one now lives in Weatherford, one lives in Dallas, and now two of the boys had, when they came back to the States, had daughters. They married and had daughters, and they became doctors, medical doctors. And one of them, well, all of them, two of the girls were medical doctors in Lubbock, but since that time, one of them went to Houston and that was Dink's Arian's.
Elizabeth, what's the next question?
Okay. Of the people you've lost in your life, who do you miss the most? What is it about them you miss?
Well, I guess it would be my mother. I really miss her the most, I guess. My mother was very protective and very close to me. And when I was in college, I wrote every day. Every day, I'd write her a letter. And she would write me every day. And then when I went overseas here in Korea, she wrote to me every day then. So I guess it would be my mother.
She sounds a lot like mine.
Yeah, that's true.
What's your next question?
Okay. Thinking about your family many generations from now, and knowing that they may hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them, any wisdom or advice you would like to share?
Now, that's my future generations, right?
Yes.
Okay. That would be Elliot's children, Brian.
If he has them.
Well, Elliot's going to go to college, and he's going to get an education, and I would like to meet Elliot's children, and then I would tell them all about Elliot.
They would be very interesting.
That's it.
Hi, Elliot.
You have any of your own questions, Elliot?
Actually, yes, I have actually quite a lot.
Ask
but
away.
For one, we have plenty of time left. But for one, who were some of your friends in your childhood?
Well, when I was a child, I guess it would be Lena Faye Garrett. She was just 9 months, or 9 months younger than I was. And there was just no one around that had children that were my age. So it would be Lena Faye.
So what was her personality like? Was she fun to do things with? Was she a fun person to be with or not?
I don't remember being. She just was there.
Okay. My other question is, what were the mascots of your school?
The mascots of the...
Oh, your schools. Like, what was the mascot of your elementary school?
I don't know that we had one.
May not.
Did you have a mascot on middle school?
I don't think I remember.
Okay, what about high school? I mean, I know you remember college, but...
Yeah.
The college was the Baylor Bears. I'm sorry about those football people who just heard that. But, okay, maybe that was a bad one. Okay, what were some of your favorite toys at your age?
My favorite toy?
Yeah.
I had a chemistry set one time, and I enjoyed putting the different things together to make in chemistry.
Have you ever tried the soda and baking powder? I mean, sorry, vinegar and baking soda?
Yes, I did. I sure did.
So tempted.
I put vinegar and baking soda, made up a foam.
Volcano?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Ooh, I think I may know the answer to this, but what was one of your favorite sugar foods? Was it a type of candy or?
Do what now?
What was your favorite sweet or sugary food?
Oh, I like them all. Huh? Anything sweet.
That's not me at all.
So at holiday times, were there extra foods that you normally didn't get? Or were there special times of year?
Yeah, there were certain foods that we didn't get. At Christmas time, my mother would always make popcorn balls. And so we had lots of popcorn balls. And then my mother made the divinity. It's a
degree
thing that my mother used to make. And then she made fudge.
Uh-huh. What's your next question, Elizabeth?
Did you have any hobbies as a kid?
I collected stamps. And I think I've given them all to Elliot now, so I don't have the stamps anymore.
Okay.
And well, then I collected coins. The Indian had pennies and things like that. So.
Okay. Next was, what was your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject? Well, I just like school. And I like math, and I liked English, and
Were there any subjects you did not like?
Not really. I can't think of any.
I can hear some of my friends disagreeing with you right now, but I can hear others agreeing with math, but hardly any. Okay. Oh, when you got older, did you ever get a job?
When I got older?
Yeah.
After I graduated from college, I went to teaching. I taught math at Levelland for the first one, and then from Levelland we went to Midland. So I guess I was a math teacher and always stayed math, I think.
Ooh, my next question, that was very interesting, but my next question, I think, I was kind of hoping you would retell a story you told me once at the dinner table with you. You were once, I think, while you were in North Korea in the war, there was a time where you had to wear a helmet all the time, yes. And it was heavy. Would you mind telling that story again?
Well, yeah, I never liked to wear the helmet, and I didn't like to carry the gun. And we had a heavy gun. It's an M1 or something like that. And one time I was walking down the road, and a Jeep came by. And it had these little flags on the front of it, and I didn't know what it meant. So somebody waved, and I just waved back at them. But then when I got back into headquarter company, they said, "Who was that that waved at General Truman?" And that time, that was President Truman's cousin that was a general in Korea. So I didn't say a word, but everybody pretty well knew who it was, but no one said anything about it. That was just it.
Okay. You got away with that.
Good.
11, this one I'm glad my grandmother came in the room for. When did you meet grandmother?
Well, I met your grandmother one time, the first day of school. And,
wait a minute, back up. The first day of school, where?
Here in Waco, Texas. And I was eating at a cafeteria with some other friends. There was several of us. And then I saw Virginia. And she said that she also was going to teach at Lake Air. And that was where I was teaching. Then she was going to teach math. And I was the math teacher. So she ate dinner with us. And that was the first time that I recall.
Okay, thank you for that sharing. Ooh, I have a good one. How was it like raising two sons, one my dad and one my Uncle Derek?
Do what now?
How was it like raising your two sons?
Well, we were out in the country, and they didn't have anybody to play with except the two of them. And Virginia spent a lot of time with them. And your dad was exceptionally bright. He was very, very smart. And your Uncle Derek, I thought he was going to be a weatherman. He just really liked looking at clouds and things like that.
Not quite then, but he is not... Well, his destiny didn't turn out like that, but he is now a science teacher, so.
Yeah. But Derek is very, very smart. But he's one of his own. He marches at his own tune. When he wants to do something, that's just what he does.
Like when Elliot and him were having a fight with BB guns and shooting down the toy figures, and he used a secret weapon to use a chemical to set his figures on fire.
Yeah.
And Elliot used chickens. He made a trail of bread that led over to the figures.
So that raises an interesting question. We did grow up out here. How come we didn't? How did we end up out here and not someplace else? How did you pick that spot?
I was taking a course. Dr. Williams was a teacher. And he asked me one time, he said, weren't you in Korea? And I said, yes. And he said, well, you're eligible for the GI Bill. And I said, oh? And he said, yes, you can buy land. You can buy $10,000 worth of land. And that was cheap then. Land was very cheap. But he said, you have to apply for it. So I applied. And got a reply, and he said, within 90 days, I had to locate a piece of property that was under $10,000. So I looked at three or four places around here, and I saw in the newspaper, and I gave up because I couldn't find any land. But then I looked in the newspaper, and it said 90 acres of land for sale just outside of Valley Mills, Texas. So I met the realtor. Bill Allen was his name.
And where was he out of? Waco?
Out of Waco. And I came out here with him. He drove me out here. And I just said, I'll buy it. You know, I had no idea what I was going to do with it. And so I said, I'll buy it. And it cost, I think, $7,000. And that was under the 10 that I could borrow. So that's the way. Then the second time I had a car, I'd come out here and look at it. And I couldn't find it anymore. I didn't know where the property was. So, but anyway, I finally found it. And that's where I live ever since.
Right.
It's worth a little bit more than $70 an acre that you paid for.
Well, thank you, Keith. I think this wraps it up.
Do you have any more questions?
No, I don't think so, Dad.
Before you hit end on the recording, I just need to sort of establish some things that I should have done up front.
So, again, the interviewer is Elizabeth Crump, age 9, and she lives in Austin, Texas. And she has interviewed Keith Crunk, her granddad, and who, as we talked about, was born November the 7th, 1929.
Yes.
All right. And the location of this interview is Keith Crunk's home, along with my mom, Virginia Fritz Crunk, who has come in the room, and as well as my son, Elliot Crunk. We started out with 3 of us, and there are now 5 of us to conclude the interview. All right, that's off.
Now, Elliot,
yeah.
Grandmother worries about you.